This is Doug Hastings, Vice President of Moody Radio, and we're thankful for support from our listeners and businesses like United Faith Mortgage.
Heading into spring, I've been spending a lot of time pondering, analyzing, and debating something extremely important to men, and even many women, and that's whether a new driver would improve my golf game. I would say I'm somewhere between embarrassing and appalling at golf, but man, do I love it. And all my buddies show up with these epic flash, big maverick Bertha drivers, and I can't help but feel like they've got this massive advantage on me and my persimmons. It's Ryan, and at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're proud to have a pretty special advantage ourselves, and one that can be a big deal for you. Our team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company uses its own money and makes its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. And this advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, saving monthly and lifelong money on a refinance or new home purchase. We're much better at mortgages than I am at golf. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we're learning how to sow good seed.
But I'm going to sow because I know that my sowing results in a harvest unto God that brings glory unto God, that releases something in the spiritual realm that allows me to even sow more and ultimately becomes a blessing to a lot of people. But I have to continue to do what's right even when I don't feel like doing it.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute and Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. As we move forward in our series called God Provides, we're going to be learning about three principles or laws that are laid out in Scripture for our benefit and provision. The first one was the law of source, and today we'll be continuing to look at the next one, the law of seeds. Our study will focus on the book of Galatians, chapter 6, and if you've missed any of the messages in this brand new study, you can catch up online when you visit our website. You'll find us at boldstepsradio.org. Right now, let's catch up with Mark's message.
Factor number two. Not only is the guarantee factor, the second factor I want you to understand about the seed law is what I call the seed factor. The harvest you reap is determined by the type and quantity of seed that you sow. Look at what it says in verse 8. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now, what the Apostle Paul is saying is that you have to choose the seeds you're going to sow, and you have to choose the ground you're going to sow it in. And on top of that, we read in other passages of Scripture that I'll just read, the quantity you want to sow. So he says to these people, listen, if you take the seeds of your flesh, the drive of your flesh, and you sow into your flesh, the flesh is our operation outside of God. Anything that comes easy, it's the natural, immediate gratification apart from God. If you sow into the flesh, then you're going to reap what the flesh can give you, and the flesh will give you destruction. If you sow into the Spirit, which is harder, if you sow into the Spirit, then you will reap what the Spirit gives you. The flesh leads you to destruction. The Spirit leads you to life. So some 18-year-old kid, what do you want to do in life? Be happy. How are you going to do that?
Well, I don't got a plan.
What are you going to do next week?
Party.
What have you thought about? Maybe there's,
no, I just want to be happy.
So the easy thing to do is go party, sleep with this girl, sleep with that one, get high, you know, just drink a little too much, forget about the problem, spend what I have, live off of mom and dad, do a little here. have as much fun with doing as little work as possible, living off of everybody else a little bit, thinking, hey, this is life, this is fun. That's sowing to the flesh. But here's the problem with sowing to the flesh, that the flesh catches up to you. Oh, hello, the flesh catches up to you. How about it? The flesh catches up. And for a while it may seem like it's fun, but ultimately what he's saying is it's leading to destruction. It's a cycle that's going to destroy you. It may seem fun at the moment, and there may be a temporary pleasure in it, but ultimately that harvest will catch up to you and begin to destroy your body, your soul, and your spirit. But when you start sowing to the spirit, it has long-term effects on who you are and what you will be. So, as you begin to choose the seeds that you're going to sow, here's the thing. You have to keep in mind quantity and quality of seeds. The amount of seeds you sow determines the amount of harvest you will reap. Listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says. Remember this, the Apostle Paul is speaking. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Not only do we have to choose to sow the right seeds, but we have to choose to sow the right quantity of seeds. Some of us want to change something, but we trickle a few seeds and we say, well, I sowed seeds, I don't see a lot of change. So you've been in a marriage for 20 years. Your marriage is not going very well. You hear a Pastor Mark message and decide, I'm going to change my marriage. And so you go out and you do something that's very courageous for you as a man. You enter territory that's virtually uncharted for you. You haven't been to this place in a long time. It makes you very uncomfortable to walk in this place. It's like a whole other world. It's a flower shop. You make your way to the counter. You fumble around trying to figure out what it is. You find a bouquet and you're shocked at how much flowers cost. But finally you take the plunge. You pull out the wallet. You decide she deserves a bouquet. After all, it's been 20 years. I'm going to start sowing good seeds. And so you buy that bouquet of flowers. You proudly put it in your car. And when you arrive home, you open up the door. You put it behind your back. And she says, hi, honey. You say, here, these are for you. She wonders what you did wrong. Are you trying to hide something? What have you done now? But you reassure her, you tell her, no, it's I'm planting new seeds. It's a new day for us. You give her that bouquet of flower, and for you, you have done a great deed. And you move on, expecting your marriage to be turned around. And I want to say, hey, it's a seed. That seed will give you maybe 1 or 2 days of good harvest. Not much more than that. You can't just give one bouquet and expect your whole marriage to be turned around. It's a seed, it's a start. But hello, you got to plant a lot of seeds to begin. After all, you planted 20 years of pretty bad seeds. You're not going to turn it around with just one bouquet of flowers. You got to learn to start talking right and sending affirmation and nurturing and conversation and non-sexual affection taking her out on dates and paying for the meals and that kind of seed sowing into that relationship, asking forgiveness for the areas you failed in, begin to dialogue, opening up those doors, taking those bricks down. It takes a lot of work, but you're sowing seeds into something that can be, and it doesn't happen just with one seed. Some of us want major turnaround with few seeds. And what Scripture tells us is the more you sow, the more you reap. The less you sow, the less you reap. You can't sow little and expect a big harvest. So it's a quantity. By the way, this applies also to finances. And there's several scriptures. For example, I love this one found in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus says, give and it shall be given to you. Because it's the law of sow and reap. Given it shall be given to you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, or running over, will be poured into your lap. And then he says, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You see, the measure you use there is talking about a measuring tool. If you were to scoop out seeds of wheat for a harvest, God is saying, whatever utensil you use, in other words, the quantity that you use, I will use to give back to you. I'm going to pack it as much as I can. I'm going to overflow it. I'm going to put as much as I can in there. But that tool is basically what's being used to give back to you. Are you tracking with me? And so oftentimes God wants to do more in our life, but he's limited oftentimes by what the amount of seeds that we're sowing with. We want to see many people come to Christ, and we've known this from the beginning. We've practiced this as a church from the beginning in many areas of life. One of the areas is in leading people to Christ. You see, the gospel is a seed. And you have to get the seed out there so that, you know, there's a lot of people, maybe one out of 20 people, once they hear the seed, will respond, but there might be 19 others that may not be ready to respond. They'll hear and say, nah, I'm not ready, nah, not ready. When I'm done with all my, then I'll, so there's a lot of people that won't, but the more you sow, if one out of every 20 responds, that means you got to plant 20 seeds for one harvest. So that means if you want two, how many seeds do you have to plant? 40. And if you want three, how many seeds do you have to plant? 60. Many people give up at that stage because they say that's a lot of seed planting. But here's the thing. The more you sow, the more you reap. And you get in the habit of seed sowing. So you get in the habit of sowing a lot of seeds, you start reaping more. Listen, when we started as a church, we were under 20 people here. We were probably about 18 people that gathered together. That's how we start, 18 people. We could have focused on the quality of the 18 people and say, okay, we got so much work to do, and that's part of it. But we also said, you know, we have a great message that God has given us. People need to be changed. We can't contain it here. Let's share that message. And now we're several thousand people that gather. Why? Because we decided to sow some seeds. We've done the same thing in our finances. You see, I'm convinced that one of the principles of Scripture is that you can have needs in your life, but you refuse to be needy in your life. How many of you know there's a difference between having needs and being needy? There's a huge difference between having needs and having a needy mentality. When we started out as a church, we were very small, very poor, could barely afford to keep the lights on and so forth, but we determined that we would never be a needy congregation, that we would allow God to use us to touch other people's needs, and that we would give to people that were needier than us. And I remember sitting down in the early days, way back then, when we were using, when we didn't have a worship band, and we were just a small group of people struggling to make a difference. I remember we decided at that time that we would give 10% of whatever came in our offering, that we would give it to other things and other places and other projects. And I remember having a discussion with the people that were there, and some people said, well, hey, wait a second, we can barely pay our own bills. Why are we giving money away? I mean, look at the neighborhood. I mean, we're in a mission field. There's so many needs around us. Why would we give to Africa or other places when there's so much need here? Because the moment that you think that your need should consume all the seeds is the moment you have just ruined your future. Can I explain it this way? Let's just say that you have wheat and barley, and you have a bucket of wheat and barley in front of you, or a barrel of wheat and barley. And you have a family to feed, so you look at your barrel of wheat and barley that's made to make bread, and you say, wow, this is not going to last very long. So I'm going to take all this seed, I'm going to make as much bread as I can, and my family and I are going to eat as much bread as we can, and because we don't have enough, so we have to just eat what we have. What happens is it feels good for the moment, but when the next year comes around, the bread is over, the bread is out, and I am starving. I have nothing. On the other hand, if someone says, I'm going to make some bread with what I have, but this other seeds that I have, I'm going to sow into the future. Then when they walk into the future, they start, let's just harvest because they haven't eaten all the seed on themselves. They've taken seed and they've released it. Now, are you with me this afternoon? Because this is huge. This is huge. A lot of people eat all the seed on themselves and then they walk into the future and there's nothing to walk into. God says that our life should always be sowing good seeds into the future. And so when you start sowing those seeds, then you walk into a harvest. If you eat all the seeds, then you've eaten your harvest right there, then and there. So here's how it goes. So it's the quantity and then the quality. The type of seeds you sow will determine the kind of harvest you reap. You cannot sow tulip seeds and expect to reap roses. And what I'm saying is that you have to ask yourself in every area of your life, what are the areas of your life that you need to sow more seeds in? If you look at your life right now and ask yourself, how am I doing in my life? Is there a scarcity in my life? Is there a scarcity? Do I have a scarcity of friendships? Do I have a weak spiritual walk? Do I have a scarcity in my finances? Do I have a struggle with my thinking? Whatever area in your life that you look at and you realize that there are scarcity or problems in that area, that is the area that you need to start looking at sowing the right kind of seeds into. You can't sow seeds into your adjust into your financial life and expect that your spiritual life is going to get great. You have to sow seeds into your financial life and spiritual life. You can't sow seeds just into your friendship with your buddies and expect that your marriage is going to get better without sowing seeds into your marriage. You can't just sow seeds into your marriage. You also have to sow seeds in your parenting. In other words, you have to take seeds and sow them into various areas of life if you want to see those areas grow and increase and change. And so the Bible talks about that. The seed sowing, what kind of seeds we sow will determine what kind of harvest we reap. The third factor is the perseverance factor. Perseverance factor. What Paul tells us in Galatians, he says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if what? At the proper time we will reap a harvest if what? If we do not give up. You know how many people give up before they reap their harvest? We're good starters, but bad finishers. The fitness industry knows that the best time to get gym memberships is when? January 1st. Why? Because we're all making New Year's resolutions. We all want to do better. But they also understand that by February or March, everybody who joined the gym, the great majority aren't going to the gym anymore because we worked out a few times, we got our outfit, we sweated, we looked at the mirror, we said, I don't look any different, I worked hard, this is not worth it, I quit, forget it, where's that burrito now? Give me that burrito. Most of us start, but we don't persevere. The difference between those that really, really make it and those that don't make it usually is people that persevere, people that hang in there, People that say, I'm going to sow good seeds even when it's hard, even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to sow. I'm going to sow. I'm going to sow. I don't feel like it, but I get up. I'm going to sow. I don't feel like it, but I get up in the morning. I take time in the Word. I'm going to sow. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to the gym. I'm going to sweat. I'm going to sow. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to tithe. I'm going to sow. Hey, I don't feel like it, but I'm going to praise. I'm going to praise God anyways. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to sow. And I'm going to keep sowing because I know that my sowing results in a harvest unto God that brings glory unto God, that releases something in the spiritual realm that allows me to even sow more and ultimately becomes a blessing to a lot of people. But I have to continue to do what's right even when I don't feel like doing it. If it were easy, everybody would do it. If it were easy. But it's hard. It's hard. Why? It's hard because it takes perseverance. Perseverance means stick-to-itiveness. Half of the battles are won by sticking with it. Half of the battles are won by not giving up. And how many people I've seen start their spiritual life, and Jesus compares it to four seeds, and only one seed makes it. But how many people start out and they're excited? Yeah, God, I'm learning good. Start changing. And they start sowing those seeds, and they're looking for a harvest. They're like my kids going, so where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Hey, I've been sowing into my marriage for 4 months, and I don't see any changes in her. She's the ice woman. Man, I'm sowing, 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 no change, nothing. I think she's getting worse. I think she respected me more when I was mean. I tried the nice love, dove, Jesus, pray verses. You know, I'm going to go back to my old ornery, mean self, demanding self. Let me see. So you sow a few seeds, and about the time that she's softening her heart, about the time that you're getting a breakthrough, you look around and you don't see any changes, so you go back to sowing your old way, and then suddenly you get a mixed harvest. Some of us have a real mixed harvest. We got good fruit and bad fruit, good fruit and bad fruit. Why? Because we're mixed sowers. We sow good fruit and then bad seed, bad seed. And we don't have a really, really good harvest because we're sowing a real mixed seed and we never reach where God wants us to be because we're inconsistent in our spiritual lives. I believe God is looking for some people that are saying, I'm going to sow seeds and I'm going to keep sowing seeds and I'm committed to it because I believe you, God. What you say, I believe.
Yeah, and some of you can relate to this. The Apostle Paul tells us to continue to do what is right and to not grow weary. And so I want to pray specifically for someone today that's discouraged. You feel like you've been sowing. Maybe it's into the life of a prodigal son or daughter. Maybe it's into a marriage that's struggling. Maybe it's into family members that you're trying to reconcile with. Maybe you're single and you've been sowing into a life of purity and seeking God, becoming that right person, and you don't see that prayer result that you've been expecting to see. And I want to pray for you because you may be just around the corner from seeing some of that harvest, but you need to persevere, not give up. Father, I pray in Jesus' name right now for that person that's extremely discouraged. They're about to stop sowing. They're about to give up. I pray that you would just breathe encouragement into them right now. I pray, Father, that you would remind them that you are in control, that you are a God that keeps your word, that you are the God that, yeah, that you respect and respond to seed sowing. at the proper time, they will reap a harvest if they do not grow weary. And so I pray encouragement to those that are tired. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that, Mark. You know, there are so many great examples out there of people who sowed into the lives of others, but none so powerful as the Master himself. And that's the topic of a book written by David Platt. It's called Follow Me, a fantastic book that shows us what genuine faith looks like.
When Jesus told his disciples, "Follow me," he wasn't inviting them to pray some special prayer or learn a secret method for getting to heaven. He was summoning them to literally lose their lives in pursuit of him. He was calling them to die to themselves, their friends, their families, their way of life, so that through him they could live. And that's the topic of our latest Bold Step gift. It's a book by David Platt, simply entitled, Follow Me. And it challenges believers to evaluate the authenticity of their faith and uncover any blind spots that may be hindering their pursuit of the Messiah. Get to the heart of the matter and learn how you can be a true disciple of the one worth dying for in this engaging book, Follow Me. It's yours with a gift of any amount to support Bold Steps Radio. And then before I go, let me say a hearty thank you to those of you that are making a monthly financial commitment to support this ministry. Your gifts, no matter what the size, are helping us reach people with the bold and passionate message of the gospel, and we cannot thank you enough.
To partner with us today on Bold Steps, call 844-615-7363 or sign up online right now at boldstepsradio.org. For a gift supporting this ministry today, we'll send you a copy of David Platt's book, Follow Me, as our way of saying thanks. And if it's more convenient, send your one-time donation and request for the book to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Thanks for joining us today. Be sure to come back tomorrow when Mark talks about turning back to God. It's a message from Malachi and part of our series called God Provides. So be listening Friday to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.